The buggers wouldn't know or care how legendary a Commander Ender might be to his own men. The human ships wouldn't have any magical tricks like Bean's deadline to dazzle the buggers with to put them off their stride. Ender knew that. Bean knew that. What if David hadn't had a sling, a handful of stones, and the time to throw? What good would the excellence of his aim have done him then? So yes, it was good. It was right for the soldiers of all three armies to cheer Ender, to chant his name as he drifted toward the enemy gate, where Bean and his squad waited for him. But in the end it meant nothing, except that everyone would have too much hope in Ender's ability. It only made the burden on Ender heavier.
"I would carry some of it if I could," Bean said silently. "Like I did today. You can turn it over to me, and I'll do it if I can. You don't have to do this alone."
Only even as he thought this, Bean knew it wasn't true. If it could be done, Ender was the one who would have to do it. All those months when Bean refused to see Ender, hid from him, it was because he couldn't bear to face the fact that Ender was what Bean only wished to be. The kind of person on whom you could put all your hopes, who could carry all your fears, and he would not let you down, would not betray you.
"I want to be the kind of boy you are," thought Bean. "But I don't want to go through what you've been through to get there."
And then, as Ender passed through the gate and Bean followed behind him, Bean remembered falling into line behind Polk or Sergeant or a Shield on the streets of Rotterdam, and he almost laughed as he thought, "I don't want to have to go through what I've gone through to get here either." Out in the corridor, Ender walked away instead of waiting for his soldiers. But not fast, and soon they caught up with him, surrounded him, brought him to a stop through their sheer ebullience. Only his silence, his impassivity, kept them from giving full vent to their excitement.
"Practice tonight?" asked Crazy Tom.
Ender shook his head.
"Tomorrow morning, then?"
"No."
"Well, when?"
"Never again, as far as I'm concerned."
Not everyone had heard, but those who did began to murmur to each other. "Hey, that's not fair," said a soldier from B-Toon. "It's not our fault the teachers are screwing up the game. You can't just stop teaching us stuff because..."
Ender slammed his hand against the wall and shouted at the kid.
"I don't care about the game anymore."
He looked at other soldiers, met their gaze, refused to let them pretend they didn't hear.
"Do you understand that?"
Then he whispered, "The game is over." He walked away. Some of the boys wanted to follow him, took a few steps. But Hot Soup grabbed a couple of them by the neck of their flash suits and said, "Let him be alone. Can't you see he wants to be alone?"
"Of course he wants to be alone," thought Bean. "He killed a kid today. And even if he doesn't know the outcome, he knows what was at stake. These teachers were willing to let him face death without help. Why should he play along with them anymore?"
"Good for you, Ender."
"Not so good for the rest of us, but it's not like you're our father or something.
More like a brother.
And the thing with brothers is you're supposed to take turns being the keeper. Sometimes you get to sit down and be the brother who is kept." Fly Molo led them back to the barracks. Bean followed along, wishing he could go with Ender, talk to him, assure him that he agreed completely, that he understood. But that was pathetic, Bean realized. Why should Ender care whether I understand him or not?
"I'm just a kid, just one of his army.
He knows me. He knows how to use me. But what does he care whether I know him?" Bean climbed to his bunk and saw a slip of paper on it. "Transfer. Bean, Rabbit Army, Commander."
That was Karn Carby's army.
Karn was being removed from command?
He was a good guy. Not a great commander, but why couldn't they wait till he graduated?
Because they're through with this school, that's why. They're advancing everybody they think needs some experience with command, and they're graduating other students to make room for them.
I might have Rabbit Army, but not for long, I bet. He pulled out his desk, meaning to sign on as Carrot Graff and check the rosters. Find out what was happening to everybody. But the Carrot Graff login didn't work. Apparently, they no longer considered it useful to permit Bean to keep his inside access. From the back of the room, the older boys were raising a hubbub. Bean heard Crazy Tom's voice rising above the rest.
You mean I'm supposed to figure out how to beat Dragon Army?
Words soon filtered to the front. The Toon leaders and seconds had all received transfer orders. Every single one of them was being given command of an army. Dragon had been stripped. After about a minute of chaos, Fly Molo led the other Toon leaders along between the bunks, heading toward the door. Of course, they had to go tell Ender what the teachers had done to him now. But to Bean's surprise, Fly stopped at his bunk and looked up at him, then glanced at the other Toon leaders behind him.
Bean, somebody's got to tell Ender.
Bean nodded.
We thought, since you're his friend...
Bean let nothing show on his face, but he was stunned.
Me? Ender's friend?
No more than anyone else in this room. And then he realized. In this army, Ender had everyone's love and admiration. And they all knew they had Ender's trust. But only Bean had been taken inside Ender's confidence when Ender assigned him his special squad. And when Ender wanted to stop playing the game, it was Bean to whom he had turned over his army. Bean was the closest thing to a friend they had seen Ender have since he got command of Dragon. Bean looked across at Nikolai, who was grinning his ass off. Nikolai saluted him and mouthed the word, Commander. Bean saluted Nikolai back, but could not smile, knowing what this would do to Ender. He nodded to Fly Molo, then slid off the bunk and went out the door.